all these many young children. But you, Lord God, you are the one who sees and knows everything, has blessed us. And so we thank God for those who are coming. We thank God for their talents that they use to glorify you. We thank God. Because a church without children really doesn't have a future. So for every child who comes, every baby who comes, we give you thanks. Because we know that they are the future of our church. And so, Holy God, we are so grateful because we know that you have not forgotten us. You've still remembered our efforts and you continue to bless us. We pray now that you would bless us by the word, Lord God. The words have gone forth from the Bible and now we will say what thus saith the Lord. So we pray that you will bless us to let my mouth be your mouthpiece, Lord God, and my heart say what you want me to say, Holy God, and then let those who hear it be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Bless us that the word will fall on fertile soil and will be received, God, so that we could continue to build up your kingdom here on earth. Speak now, Lord God, for your children are listening. Speak because we are listening to hear from you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. I was just thinking as I begin, and this week I was away, and I had to go through LaGuardia, that you really do need to do a lot of praying now when you're traveling. If you're not praying, you have to do a lot of praying. And if you're going anywhere and you could stay out of LaGuardia, I invite you to please stay. Stay away from them. Because it's not easy going anywhere. I see Victor is laughing. You can just imagine. You need to be in prayer now just to go from point A to point B. And now they're fixing, like they say, they're rebuilding LaGuardia. And you and I will be old and gray in a home before it's done. And when you're at LaGuardia and you get your, and if your baggage came in one place, then you have to take a bus to another place, and they put you under a tent, you get to a tent, and they give you a letter for your cars to come to meet you. It is an amazing thing. And they tell you you have to go to the other place. If you have Terminal B, you've got to take a bus to this place they call the tent. You think it's a movie. And then when you get to the tent, there's some people standing there and they say, you are letter H and you are letter I and you are letter whatever. And then you have to wait there. And then you tell your car service, I'm under the tent at letter H. Amazing. This just happened to me. It is not easy. You have to be praying. Praying. So my sermon title today, because we're going to learn from one of the great prayers that one have ever known, humanity has ever known, that's Jesus Christ. You got to stay prayed up just to maneuver. You know, I was just coming from Cincinnati, but I ended up in Charlotte. Didn't plan to, just to get to New York. And that's what happens. It is not easy travailing the world now, or the city. It's not easy anymore without prayer. If we didn't used to pray before, we do need to pray now. And so my sermon title today is The Praying Lifeguard. Do you know we have a praying lifeguard? You see this little thing on the front that says, when you feel like you're drowning in life, don't worry, your lifeguard walks on water. We have a lifeguard that walks on water, and he's a prayer. And I'd like to look at this text, not just from what Peter needed, but the example that Jesus left us, right? Not just, you see that little saying I gave you? Just remember, your lifeguard walks on water. He doesn't just know how to see. He doesn't have to worry about swimming. He could calm the storms and he could walk on the water. That's the kind of Savior we need. And the scripture tells us, it says in the gospel, Gospel of Matthew, that we just heard read just now, Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, as soon as the meal was finished, and this is from the Message Bible, as soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. And when the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. And you will notice throughout the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see how many times Jesus stopped to pray. Right? That one cannot do mighty work in the Lord without praying. Last week we were reminded when before he did that whole scripture of the multiplication, he went away in a lonely place, it said in the text last week, the Matthew text, early in Matthew, and it says that he went away to be by himself. All of the great work that Jesus had done, the major work, Garden of Gethsemane, all of that on the cross, Jesus took time to pray. Prayer was what gave him the strength. Because one has to remember, Jesus was fully divine and yet fully human. And the human part of him is what we are learning from, right? We have to learn from, because we are not divine and we are never going to be divine. But we could learn from him as how his prayer life was so amazing. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible where Jesus stopped to pray. And this is to encourage us that prayer is the key and prayer is important. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. While I don't believe this literally means to never stop praying, I would say that Jesus probably came closer to never stopping than any other person who has ever lived. Jesus was always praying. And if Jesus was always praying, what about us? Why do we negate prayer sometimes to the bottom of our list? Or just pray when something is wrong? We're supposed to be praying. He was continually in a prayer mode. We see in many of the Gospels, and I could list them for you, so many of them, he is shown to pray alone. Jesus tend to went away and pray alone. It is not just when we come to incorporate prayer that it's important. We need to be able to what? Pray alone. To be by ourselves and take a moment and pray. We don't have to call on people all the time to pray for us. Yes, in the church when we come, it's time for corporate prayer and we bring corporate things before God. But we are expected, like Jesus, to pray alone. To pray for God's grace. We see Jesus praying before meals, don't we? Right last week we were reminded of that. That he took the bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it. And look what happened. It's like magic, isn't it, happen when you pray and you see God's face. And then before every important decision, we see Jesus praying. And one I just alluded to just now is the Garden of Gethsemane. A major decision for Jesus, and he would be on his knees before the Lord praying to God. And he also taught on the importance of prayer. And when the disciples said to him, "Teach us how to pray." And then he says, "When you pray, pray like this." Right? And then he gave them the Our Father. Pray like this. He gave them a pattern, a model to follow. Right? We don't have to say the same words all the time. But it was a model that when we begin to pray, we acknowledge God for all God has done for us. Then we give God thanks. That's what that model prayer is saying. First we give God thanks before we just get to what we need. But the point is, there are times we just got to get to what we need, and God knows that. So Jesus gives us an outline for prayer. Now, why did Jesus pray? You see, although the gospel does not provide a detailed biography of Jesus, they do offer captivating glimpses into his prayer life. We don't get an autobiography of Jesus, what school he went to, what he did, what degree he did, but we see him praying. Jesus prayed as an example to his followers, to us. He wanted to set an example for us. And if we are followers of Jesus, shouldn't we follow what the one we're following do? Shouldn't we follow what our leader does? If it's good enough for our leader to pray, isn't it good enough for us to pray? Shouldn't we be praying and praying all the time? Second, he was, as I said, he was the incarnation consists of Jesus being fully divine and fully human. So the humanity of Jesus would always pray to God. He'd pray to Abba Father. Pray to his Father before he would do anything. And he prayed because what? Prayer is communion with the Father, with God. And prayer is also a submission to the Father. And he prayed to give in praise and thanks to the Father. And so we have seen so many scriptures of Jesus praying. And so I want to put before you today that Jesus could do what he did in the water, walk on the water. Why? Because his prayer life was built up. He had a strong prayer life. That's why he could do what he did, to what we saw him doing in the text. And the Bible tells us in the text that that while he was while he was there, he told them to go he told them to go ahead of him, and he went to pray. And then there they were in the boat. Can you imagine after that prayer, the strength it gave him and the will, he began to walk on the water. Began to walk toward the water, and they're now in the boat. And God bless Peter. And Peter see it, and Peter wants to do that. First they got scared. Didn't the text say that? They got scared and they got worried. They thought it was a what? A ghost. Because they had never seen anybody walk on water. I myself would have thought it was a ghost, wouldn't you? And start running. Well, Peter is bold, you know. Peter is the one, you know, is very bold, and he thought he could do it. But here's the deal here. Peter did not have the prayer life that Jesus had at that time in his life. Peter wasn't at the place yet, right, to do exactly what Jesus do. And that's why sometimes we cannot follow what other people are doing, you know. We've got to work on our own prayer life, right? Because some people's prayer life are better than ours. Some of our prayer life are better than other people. They spend a lot of time praying, reading the word, being in relationship with God. You've just got to stay where you are and do what God has called you to do. And so scripture tells us that Peter got out of the boat, and he began to want to what? Walk forward. Now, I have got a little joke that I read, and I hope I remember it. And preachers have said this before, that there were three preachers in a boat. And the boat was a little bit away from the shore, and they realized that they forgot something, right? So then one preacher got out of the boat, and he's walking on water, right? And he walked back to the boat to get his rod. They were going out, right? And he walked right back on the water, got his rod, and walked back. The second preacher, he looked around, he had forgotten something also. He says, oh, I got to go back. You know, I've got to go get my such and such. So he walked on the water and he went to get it. The third preacher now, he realized that he had left something. And he says, if they do it, I have enough faith that they have enough faith. I just have as much faith as they do. I'm going to walk on the water. So he started to walk on the water and he began to drown. He could get down into the bottom. They had to pull him out. And he said to them, but I've got enough faith like they do. Why can't I'm going to try again? So he began, he come out, you know, the boat is a good distance. He began to trying to walk on the water, and he nearly drowned again. They had to pull him out. And then one preacher turned to the other preacher and said, let us tell him where the rocks are. See? Because he thought it was their great faith. And he says, let us tell him where the rocks are, because the other two preacher was walking on the rocks. But he was new to the area, he didn't know where the rocks are, so he thought, so I'm telling you, church, you can't, in Matthew it says somewhere in Mark, at the end of Mark, you should pick up snake and drink poison, you know, and it will not harm you. Don't do it, right? If your prayer life and your faith is not what you think it, and you know when it's at that level, do not do it, right? Because our prayer lives and our faith journey are different, aren't they? You make sure you got some rocks to walk on, right? And make sure you're not looking at somebody else. We spend too many time looking at other people instead of looking at ourselves and say, Lord, strengthen my prayer life. Lord, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, not my cousin, not my mother-in-law, even though your mother-in-law and father-in-law may need special prayer. But it's me. Standing in the need of prayer. Me, I am the one who is in need of prayer. I am the one who is not without spot or blemish. Who has spots and blemish that the Lord has to work on. Me, not the next person. We have to walk on our own prayer life and our own faith journey so that when we step out of the boat to walk to Jesus, we won't drown because we are prayed up. Right? You can't live off your grandmother's prayer alone. Thank God our grandparents are praying up for us. Isn't that a blessing that they're praying for us? Amen? In heaven, because if they were not praying for some of us, our grandparents, we'd be drowned already. I could hear them saying to Jesus, Jesus, let's help them because they don't know what they're doing. Right? Help them. Hold their hands, precious Lord. Right? And so we have to be able. So Peter was not at that place yet. Right? And Peter began, and then he began to drown. Now, here is the deal. We have, you know what a lifeguard does? A lifeguard doesn't just look cute. You know, like some of them have great bodies. You know what I'm saying, young people. They're on the beach and they got on those little speed and they look so good. You could just look at them and you don't even go in the water. Jesus was not this kind of lifeguard, right? Jesus, A lifeguard's main duty is to enforce the rules in order and to anticipate the problems and the injuries, right? The lifeguard knows the rules and they anticipate injuries and problems. A lifeguard maintains concentrated observation of the duty area, and its users in order to anticipate any problems that are coming. You always see a lifeguard when they're sitting on those things, a good lifeguard, right? They're always looking, right? Their eyes are roaming because they know where it's very deep and they know where it's not. And they will put those little things around and tell you don't go there. And they're watching, and the moment they're trouble, they're ready, right? They supervise everything. They know. So Jesus was a great lifeguard. He knew what was going to happen to Peter. He knew that Peter wasn't there yet. He already knew. He knows the beginning, he knows the end. And so scripture tells us that as Peter, you know, thought he was bold enough, right? And he's stepping out. Peter is now stepping out. Peter does not know what's going on, what to do. I'm leaving my paper. I have some points in here. And Peter is stepping out and he doesn't know. And guess what Jesus does? Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to come get you. Hold on, Pete. He never made him drown. He didn't allow him to drown, did he? He said, hold on, Peter. I'm going to come get you. Because Jesus knows exactly where we are. Know where we are in faith. Know where we are in prayer. We can't hide anything from him. And he's not going to let us drown. Does trouble come? Yes. Does disappointment come? Yes. But Jesus is always going to be in there with us. And so scripture says Jesus walked on the water. Can you imagine that? Jesus was so prayed up from being in relationship with God and communicating with God. You cannot try to do these mighty things in God if you don't pray, church. If we do not pray, we cannot try to do these mighty things in God. We have to be in prayer, in deep prayer at all times. You know, some mornings I get up and I will tell you, I always talk to God in the mornings. But is it every morning I have a soliloquy? No. Is it every morning it's war and peace that I'm talking to God? No. Some mornings I get up, I jump up and I says, oh God, I thank you for the day. Thank you that I see another day. I says, God, and I got to go now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, some mornings that I get, because if I'm running late on something, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Some days I just, and other days I take a moment, I get on my knees, I read my little reflection. And should I do that every single day? Yes, but every day I can't get a chance to do it. But I'm always at some point saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for waking me up. There used to be a preacher used to say, he'd say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Sometimes I say, good morning, Jesus. Right? Thanking him for sometimes a moment, trying to build our prayer life. And we who are pastors, we have to build our prayer life. Some of us don't have good prayer lives, and we need it. And we're taking care of other people. We are given, you know, we have to nurture and love other people through sickness and through death and through other things, our own families and ourselves. So we really need to find, that's why we have a high rate of burnout. You know, pastors do, like psychiatrists. Because we need to have a prayer life also that we could walk on water with Jesus. Because we can't walk in it by ourselves, right? With Jesus. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus
held Peter, brought him out of the water. And then somewhere there, Jesus is going to say, oh, he have little faith, one of the texts says. And he wasn't being critical. He was saying, you know, your faith has to be stronger in me, in Christ. You got to be trusting Christ. You know, even when you don't see and understand what is going on. Prayer is the key. And so we saw Jesus being able to take Peter out of this drowning situation because of prayer. Now, church, if I was to ask many of you here, Jesus has taken you out of drowning situation. Right? You don't have to tell me what it is, but I'm sure you've been through situation that you think it's only but God. But for God. But for God, I wouldn't have gotten that job. But for God, I wouldn't have gotten well. Right? Doctors can't find this. They don't know where this is. But for God, that will, you know, give the doctors wisdom and knowledge. You know, they said, General Patton, for those of you who are General Patton, I read, you know, there's a prayer of the prayer of the bulge, the prayer of Baston. Baston, I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's French. And they wanted to pray for good weather. Right? The chaplain, I told him to write a prayer for good weather. I'm reading a book that says the 10 most important prayer in history. And that's one of them. And they wanted to pray, he told him to pray for good weather. And they wrote a prayer. And then afterwards, when he saw the prayer, he said, you know, he said to the chaplain, you know, have everyone say the prayer. Right? You want all the soldiers to say the prayer. And then he said to them, you know, there are things we know, and I'm paraphrasing, things we don't know, but somewhere in the unknown, there is God. He says, I want every soldier to pray when they're driving, pray when they're fighting, I want him to pray all the time that God will bless us. This was a general. He didn't stop fighting, but they were praying. He knew the importance of prayer, that there is a God who hears and answers prayer. Now, do we understand the mystery of it? No, but it's fact. And so Jesus' prayer life was so strong that Jesus was able to save Peter. Now Paul reminds us that salvation, that was a physical demonstration of being saved, right? That was a physical demonstration. But Paul is talking about what? A spiritual demonstration of being saved. Paul is going to say to the church that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, Romans 10:9, if you accept him as your Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Amen. Then you will believe. He wanted to. So in these two texts we see a physical demonstration of being saved, and then Paul is talking about a spiritual demonstration of being saved. And all you have to do, he says, it's not Greek or Gentile or Jew or male or female. It's for everyone. That if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we have done that, haven't we, church? We have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Come on now, church. We believe in our heart, don't we? That's why we're here every week when we can. We believe that God raised him from the dead and that he sits and reigns supreme and he sits on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you and me. All day long when we mess up and we don't know what to do, I could hear Jesus saying, she's your child, God Almighty. She's mine. And forgive her. She is seeking you. If you repent of your heart, accept him, then salvation is yours. Not salvation for this minute only, but salvation forever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Paul wanted the church at Rome to know that. Huh? That salvation is ours. That we have the hope of eternal life. That heaven has become a free gift for you and for me because of Jesus Christ. That we're saved. Thank God I'm saved. Huh? It is what comfort it brings. To know at the time of death, when that time comes, that we don't know what tomorrow brings, or we don't know what the other side looks like. But one thing we could be assured of and promise, that it won't be all that bad when we get there. Frankly, it's going to be real good, because Jesus promised to us that he has prepared a place for us. Because we're saved. Saved by God's amazing grace. That's what Paul wanted us, so we could have physical salvation, being saved physically, and being saved spiritually. So in the gospel narrative, we see Jesus telling us that through our daily walk in life, our daily journey, he's saving us. When trouble comes to our daily life, he's there for us, right? Daily, we could call on him. Scripture says, call on him and he'll answer. And he'll show us new and mighty things that we do not know. Scripture tells us again that while we're saying it, he already knows it. And before we could say it sometimes, he has already answered it. Oh, glory to God. What an awesome God we serve, huh? And so we know that Scripture tells us these things. So while we are living life as we're going through day by day with our struggles, we know that we could call on God because he knows. And then for those of us who are believers, we could say, and I know where I'm going to go when my time comes. Be that it's going to be when I'm 90 or 110 or whatever time he decides to call me. I'm all praying that none of us is going anywhere soon. I've been talking to the Lord. May you just, you could just pass over here for, we don't want anybody else to go now for the rest of the year, Lord. Could you just, grant us that grace, God Almighty. Grant us that grace. But we know whatever happens, that salvation is ours. Do we have to brag and boast? No. It's a gift. Freely given. Freely given to you and me. And so friends, we have a Savior that we could pray to this morning because we are saved. And so I just want to leave you with, here are some important facts about prayer. Prayer is the key to the heart of God. There is a place of silent rest or precious rest near to the heart of God. Prayer is the key to the heart of God. Number two, prayer is communication with God. To have to be in dialogue with God. Right? It's prayer. Prayer must be more than an emergency magical lamp rubbed in the crisis. Prayer should not be just this little thing when something happens, we start to rub our little genie. Okay, Lord, I need help now. I'm going to just rub it so I could get help. Oh, could you just please? That's not what prayer is about. We don't have to, this is not some little magical lamp for us to run. Prayer is not passive. It is active. We believe sometimes when people pray, what are they doing? I always, when people say, oh, that's the least you can do is prayer. He says, no. That's the best you can do is pray. It's not the least. It's the best you can do to start out your life journey and your crisis in prayer. Prayer is not a magical means by which we get God to do what we want. Let's be quite clear. God is not going to do what we want. God is going to do what is best for you. You know how long it took me to get to pray that? It's taken me a long time when I was praying for sick folks, and I would be praying and I'd be wanting, and I would just one day the Spirit said in my head, pray what is best for that person. And I would say, Lord, please do what is best for that person. You know what my heart desires, God, but pray what is, I want you to do what is best. If it's best to heal their body completely here on earth, let it be done, God Almighty. Took me a long time, and every now and again I'm saying it, my lips are trembling. Lord, pray what is best. Because what if praying what is best doesn't line up with what I believe is best here on earth? But it says, will be done. Huh? God doesn't always answer the way we want. Prayer is an inner openness to God, which allows his divine power to be released in us. Amen. And finally, pray your way. Pray your way. You don't have to pray like Martin Luther. You don't have to pray like, Mother Teresa. You don't have to pray like any pastor who have left you. You don't have to pray like anyone. You pray your way. God has made us all unique. He knows every hair on our heads and our bodies. And we are different. And some of us can pray long prayer. Some of us can only say, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Pray your way. God will hear and God will answer. The key is to pray and to begin to pray. And so we see Jesus, the same Jesus that we pray to, saving Peter. And the same Jesus that we pray to died, resurrected, reigns supreme in heaven for you and for me. And he tells us that he continues to make intercessions for us. He's a great high priest. The high priest that never died. He sits in the Holy of Holies. Can't you just imagine? And when we call on him, oh, glory to God. And we don't have to go see a local priest. We don't have to go into anything. We could sit anywhere. That's why we're not Roman Catholic. God bless them and the priest. You know, but we don't have to visit anybody. Do you know you don't have to? You know, you could be praying to the Lord and you're in the bathroom because something is happening. It says, Lord Jesus, have mercy. We don't need another high priest. We've got Jesus Christ, the true high priest, that we could call him in anytime. And he will bring us out of whatever storms. As the songwriter says, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me, huh? And when that moment comes, when I'm old and gray, and I'm ready to cross the chilly Jordan, Lord, who part the seas, stand by me. Thanks be to God. Amen.